Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Well, we're feeling pretty good today. We really are. We were frustrated with the Phillies last night for obvious reasons. They lose a game. They generally have a good lineup. They didn't hit last night, but they do have a good lineup. They do have good starting pitching. And yet on May 18th, they are still under 500. And so that was the reality of, you know, where we started the show and the frustration of that. But then the news around 10:30 today that the Eagles had signed cornerback James Bradbury, who really is a good player. And John has talked yesterday and talked again today about John believes that he's a top 10 cornerback in pro football. That, of course, means they add him on a one-year, $10 million deal to play opposite of Darius Slay and to really help boost this defense, which, of course, helps boost the team. And I say all that to introduce our next guest. He is the guest of guests, and this is the second-to-last appearance that he will ever make, at least as a regular guest on our show. He is the Diddy. He retires in about 10 or 11 days, and Ray Dittinger is in studio to talk about James Bradbury and more and to entertain us all for the next hour. Ray Diddy, how are you, sir?
I'm doing good, Joe. How are you?
Ray, it's going to get emotional next week. I guess I'm not in the emotional stage yet, but I will say this. I saw you in the hallway as you walked in here. Honest to God, I almost gave you a huge hug. I just figured, well, I guess I won't, and you're carrying your bag. And I don't want to maul you, but I see you, Ray, and I just think I value the time we have together still.
Well, I do, too. I do, too. Yeah, I've really enjoyed the couple of years that I've been popping on with you guys on Wednesdays. It's really been a treat. I know Joe. I've known you for a long time.
Yeah.
And I actually got to work a little bit with your partner John when I was at NBC Sports, because we used to do some drop-ins with him when I was doing the show called
Was it the Lou Tilly Show?
No, it was the show that we used to do. It was every night, Monday through Friday. Quick Slants.
Oh, sure, yeah.
Quick Slants. And yeah. John was a sometimes guest in some TV studio down by Washington. Was that where you were then?
I was up in Stanford.
Oh, you're up in Stanford.
Yeah.
Okay. So and John, like, one or two days a week, the middle segment would be a little drop in with John just talking football. So I got to work with both of you guys separately, but for the last couple of years, being able to do it together has really been a blast.
Thanks, Ray. Well, we've loved it. And one of the things we always love is when news breaks and we get your immediate reaction. So, Ray, let's get to it. The Eagles signed James Bradbury today, a one-year, $10 million deal. Obviously, for Bradbury, it's a prove-it deal. He's going to try to hit the free agent market next year and get a big, big deal. But for the Eagles, at least for a year, Ray, how good, in your opinion, is James Bradbury, and what does this do for the Eagles' defense?
Helps him a lot. He was very good 2 years ago. In the first year with the Giants, he was really good. I mean, like Pro Bowl good, I thought.
Yeah.
And was a big difference maker on that Giants' defense. Last year, not so good. I mean, a lot of things went wrong with the Giants last year. And sometimes there's collateral damage that takes down even good players. So I'm willing to attribute it to that. But if they're getting the guy that the Giants got 2 years ago, it's a huge upgrade over where they were.
What can you point to specifically about the downturn last season? I know guys get beat. I know every cornerback gives up some plays, but I still think this guy has all the physical tools to be a great cornerback, and he's proven that time and time again. Why was there a little bit of a drop-off last year?
I don't know. Certainly shouldn't have been age because he's only 29 now. Seemed to have all the same. I mean, he's got the same physical equipment. He just looked off his game last year, and I don't know. I don't know if he was playing through some kind of an injury that that no one ever really talked about and that the team never really disclosed. I mean, sometimes that happens. I mean, guys can be hurt and never miss a game, but it affects their performance.
Yeah, sure.
And the drop-off was so, to me, was so obvious and so dramatic that I'm kind of attributing it to that. And he never, you know, he never came out and alibied. He never said it was, you know, I've got this or I've got that.
Yeah.
I mean, he was clearly not the same player he was 2 years ago. But 2 years ago, if he's really healthy and he can play at the level he did 2 years ago, I mean, he made a big difference in that Giants defense.
And
like I said, I really thought he played at a Pro Bowl level. And if he can bring that to Philadelphia, then the Eagles defense is much, much better.
Well, let's hit that topic, Ray. So if he provides that sort of performance, I mean, Jonathan Gannon, Ray, between Reddick, Jordan Davis, N'Kobe Dean, and now James Bradbury. We know the safeties are still weak, but, man, he's got a lot to play with now.
Yeah, and Kazir White, too.
Yeah.
I mean, he's got some guys that you could legitimately call playmakers. And last year's defense, you couldn't say that. But you take the guys we just talked about and you add in, you know, the return of Brandon Graham. You know, now all of a sudden, Jonathan Gannon's
Josh
got...
Josh Sweat.
And Josh Sweat.
We're forgetting Josh Sweat.
Who came on.
Yeah, real potential.
So I think that he's got some players now. And he's got some players that are legitimate playmakers, which is, okay, this is one of these situations where, you know, I kind of step back and fold my arms and say, okay, coach, what do you got?
Yeah.
You know, because I really think that you've really given him some good pieces here. But in some cases, I think they are guys that have to be coached a specific way. In other words, they have to be put in systems that allow them to play to their strength. You know, Hassan, if you put, you take Hassan Reddick, as good as he is, and you put him in a defense where you have him, you know, backpedaling and trying to cover linebackers or playing 20 yards downfield, well, then you're not using him to his best advantage. He's got to be chasing after the quarterback. Same thing with Jordan Davis. If he's, you know, if you're trying to make him into something he's not, then he's probably not going to be as effective. You let him be a classic nose tackle, he can be very effective. And I think that that's kind of where I am with this thing is okay, I'm not sold on Jonathan Gannon. I'm really not. But I'm willing to give him the benefit of the doubt that last year he didn't have the greatest personnel to work with. Well, now you're giving him significantly better personnel this year. And now let's see if he's as good a coach as everybody said he was.
Ray, Joe brought up the acquisition of Asante Samuel and how he was disappointed with the, I don't know, soft play, turning down contact, that sort of thing. How different is James Bradbury from that kind of cornerback?
Yeah, I think he's a very different kind of player. I think he's a very different kind of player when he's playing well. He's certainly more physical than Asante. He's willing
to
come
big.
Up. He's, and he's,
Ray,
he's
big. I'm more physical than Asante Samuel, and I'm a wuss.
I know. Well, we're not. Yeah, I agree. With Asante, we're not setting the physical bar very high. But Bradbury is a guy that even by the standards of today's cornerbacks, he's pretty physical, and he certainly has no problem coming up forcing the run. I think he plays the total game, and he can really cover, and he's got size.
Yeah.
He can run, and as I said, at 29, he's certainly not over the hill.
Yeah.
It's just a matter of finding what he had 2 years ago. And 2 years ago, he was very good. I really thought a couple weeks ago when it was obviously moving towards the Giants letting him go. They were trying to trade him. Nobody wanted to trade for the contract. It wasn't that they weren't willing to trade for the player. They didn't want to trade for the contract.
Yeah.
So okay, let's just wait it out and let's see if he goes on the market. And I thought right away the Eagles were going to move on him, and they did. So good for them. I mean, good for them. The defense right now, at least on paper, is way better than it was a year ago.
Ray, even yesterday before this signing, and now certainly since the signing, there are people talking 10 wins, 11 wins. 12 wins. Do you think those numbers are overly ambitious or realistic?
If you're talking 11-12, that's pretty rare air there. I certainly think you can think in terms of 9-10. I think you know, Angelo said to me the other day when I was on, he said they were doing the show from Borgata, and he was looking at the board and the schedule had just come out, and they were, people could actually go bet the over-under on the season totals that day. And Angelo said, I'm looking at the board right now, and it's got the Eagles at 8.5. What would you suggest I do? And I said, bet them. Bet them. I think at 8.5, I think they're a solid, solid bet. You know, I think
it's going up.
Right now, I would say 10 wins, and they could be better because they're an improved team. You got the coaches coming into the second year, which certainly figures to make him better. Jalen Hurts has got a full year as a starter under his belt and a full year of digesting Sirianni's offense, so he should be better. He certainly has a better receiver in A.J. Brown. You know what you got on the offensive line. The defense is significantly improved. And the schedule, I think, is very favorable. You know, so I mean, you put all those things together. That unless you just get a tsunami of injuries, which no one can predict. But if you think you're just going to have kind of a normal year, given their roster right now and their schedule, yeah, I think 10 wins is entirely doable.
So last year, a lot of folks were frustrated by the overabundance of zone coverage. You know, by our secondary, a lot of two deep. You know, three deep stuff. Two deep, though, in particular. And two deep puts you at a disadvantage stopping the run, of course. Do you think having two cornerbacks this good, Ray, Slay and Bradbury, is it wasteful to play two deep? I mean, is this signing signifying a change in philosophy for what we should expect, you know, for what Gannon is going to do coverage-wise this year?
Yeah.
If you're running too deep, you're asking your cornerbacks to just, you know, get a hand on a guy, you know, and then just sink to the flats. Like, these guys are too good to just, like, disrupt a route and sink to the flats. So I don't expect to see coverage the way we saw it last year. What do you think?
Yeah, I don't think you should. And one of the things that I've been trying to assess the personnel they're bringing in on defense is what kind of message are they sending us mm-hmm. about what kind of defense they want to be?
Yes.
Like with the drafting of Davis and the signing of Reddick, I mean, I began to think in terms of, okay, are they really going to be a 3-4 mm-hmm. or some variation of the 3-4? You know, with a true nose tackle, and maybe okay, play a 5-man front with Reddick as the fifth rusher. All of that is in play because it all falls under the heading of what you want a coach to do, which is play to the strength of his players.
Right.
Now, everything you said, I mean, and now I'm just talking about the front seven, talking about the back four. I don't want to make this sound like it's a negative or a concern about Bradbury, but he's a very different player than Slay. In that, I think Slay is at his best as a press corner. Bradbury, to me, when he played really well 2 years ago, was really a cover two zone corner. That, to me, he looked far more comfortable playing zone than he did when he was asked to play man. Hmm. And so, you know, as a defensive corner, how do you make that work? You know, because your one corner really is much better pressing, far better. We know that about Slay. Mm-hmm. But Bradbury, from what I've seen, when he was at his best 2 years ago, he was playing mostly cover two. So in that sense, okay, here's kind of a coaching challenge. You know, how do you make those two guys work in a way that's compatible and good for your overall defense?
Mm-hmm. Love it. Ray Dittinger with us in studio for a full hour. 215-592-9494. It's 94 WIP HD1 Philadelphia. As we broadcast from the Tasty Cake Studio. To react to the Bradbury signing, what the Eagles' defense can look like. It's fun to talk defense again, by the way. And, of course, the Phils last night, some residual 76ers talk as well. Let's do it all on the phone lines. Tom in Abington is with us. Yo, Tom.
Yo, fellas. How we doing today?
Super.
Yeah, I hear you. Way to go, Howie. That was impressive. Joe, real quick, your whole apology or whatever it was for Dirty Dancing?
Yeah.
That left a lot to be desired.
Well, you got to understand something. I guess I'm just not used to having to retract something. And
sure.
Upon having gone back and rewatched Dirty Dancing again, which, by the way, I hadn't watched in a few years, but I have probably watched at least 50 times.
Yeah,
I can tell you,
we don't have to hear it
again. It's pure love between Baby and Johnny, and they probably do end up together when they're 60 and 70 years old.
All right. Well, speaking of pure love, the whole purpose of this call is I penned an open letter here to Ray Dittinger I'd like to share with you guys.
Oh, that's nice. Go for it.
Okay. To the Hall of Famer, the Godfather, Ray the Diddy Dittinger. Ray, I think I can speak for the millions upon millions of Philly sports fans when I say thank you, sir. Thank you for the unparalleled columns in the Bulletin, the insightful opinions you shared on the Eagles pre- and post-game. Thank you for the plethora of excellence and class you brought to the airwaves at the Whip. Thank you for the multiple books you penned over the years and the brilliant and touching play, Tommy and Me. You have provided us with 5+ decades of telling it straight without any slant or hot take. Your fair presentation of your unbiased opinion is second to none. You are Philly sports. While your retirement is well-deserved and we wish nothing but the best for you and your family, you will be sorely missed. Although other people will sit in the multiple chairs you have occupied for so long, you will never be replaced. In ending this, I would say that my personal favorite was whenever Mr. Roy Dittinger would make an appearance. And Godspeed, Ray. And from the bottom of our hearts, thank you for being you.
Wow. Well, thanks a million. That's that was really lovely. That really was. I can't begin to tell you how many letters, emails, cards, phone calls I've gotten in the last couple of weeks. All saying some really nice things, but you put them all together in a really nice package.
Well
Thanks
done.
Very much.
Well done, Tom.
Yeah,
Tom, give me a movie you'd like to have as a prequel.
Okay, I don't know about you guys, but I'd love to see who created the Scarecrow, the Tin Man, and the Lion, and why the heck they left out the brain, the courage, and the heart.
That's a really interesting answer.
It's a very interesting answer.
Because you'd also get how the wizard became the wizard.
Yeah, which is probably the most interesting.
Prequel to The Wizard of Oz is an interesting answer. I like that. We'll have to get an answer from James or from Ray on what he'd like to see a prequel of. But, Ray, let me go back to your pending retirement first. We talked pretty extensively last week with you about it. Obviously, you touched on it briefly there earlier. Anything new in the last 7 days to update us on? Just, I'm sure it's a lot of the same stuff, but have you heard from some particular people that have touched you? I mean, you've heard obviously from thousands, but are there a couple that stand out to you? Just what's going through your mind as you are now, I think it's 10 or 11 days from the end date?
Yeah, well, it's been way more than I expected it to be. First of all, I mean, I thought there'd be some reaction. I thought some people would reach out, but nothing like what it's been like. It's been pretty overwhelming. I mean, and NBC Sports Philly did a half an hour special with me one day this week, which I really didn't expect, but that was nice that they did that. And then I just found out this past week that, NFL Films wants to do a whole thing on me.
Wow.
They want to do NFL Films for their magazine show, NFL Films Presents. Want to do kind of a Life and Times piece about me.
And this would air on the NFL Network?
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, when they contacted me, I said, what, Jim Brown wasn't available? I mean, you guys are doing it to a profile on me. But yeah, they are. And in fact, when we have the kind of the big going away party here in a couple of weeks on that Saturday, in studio, NFL Films is actually going to be here filming the whole thing. So
that's going to be
pretty cool. And it's been, a lot of it has been people reaching out to me. A lot of people I've never met before. A lot of total strangers. Don't know how they found me, but they did. Old friends, old teammates, old classmates, stuff like that. Folks I hadn't talked to in a long time. That was really nice. I got a letter a couple days ago, from a guy who I thought really, really made me appreciate what we do here at this station. You know, sometimes we do our version of radio, and when we think we're just talking sports and kind of talking to each other, but sometimes you lose sight of the fact that how much we connect with our audience, you know, on a day-to-day basis.
Yep.
You know, we kind of come into their homes, we come into their cars, we keep them company, and sometimes we lose sight of that a little bit. And I got a letter from a guy the other day who said that he was a big sports fan, grew up in a family where his mom and dad weren't all that into sports, but he was. He said, but I had two favorite uncles of mine that were huge sports fans, and they used to come over to the house and they would watch games with me, or I would go over to their house and I would watch games with them, and we would sit and we would talk sports. That's kind of where I got my sports fix. And he said, you know, they've now passed away, but over the last few years, you and Glenn Mack now became my two uncles.
Wow.
You know, and you know, I mean, what a sweet thing to say, you know, that there's somebody out there that actually thinks of you in those terms. So that's kind of what the response has been, Joe. And it's been, you know, as I said, more than I thought it was going to be, but really, really, really gratifying.
Good. Well, I'll say this. I have no doubt next Wednesday I'm going to cry, because I'm honest to God, I'm tearing up here right now. So just know next Wednesday is going to be someone's going to have to start talking at some point. Let me put it that way.
Everything.
Oh, hey, listen, can you imagine?
The phones, 888, I'm sorry to cry. I'm just very emotional.
Hey, can you imagine what that last show is going to be like?
I
the
know.
One on the 29th with me and Glenn, just
oh,
the two of
buddy.
Us together? Because they're going to have the big kind of gala send-off, bon voyage thing here in the studio area on Saturday. And that'll be 3 hours of balloon and funs and jokes and phone calls and goofy stuff, you know, balloons and all that.
Yep.
But the final day, Sunday, 10 to 1, is just going to be Glenn and me, which is the way that we wanted to end it, was just the two of us. That was how we started. And Joe, I know right now that that's going to be brutal. Yeah. I mean, getting through that one is going to be brutal.
Well, yeah. I mean, no doubt, Ray. And I'll say this. I said this earlier today. I'll say it again. You will probably have more Philadelphia sports fans listening to sports radio on the beach than has ever happened in the history of sports radio on the beach. I mean, Ray, you're going to be doing a Memorial Day weekend Sunday sign-off show.
Right.
There are going to be thousands of people down the shore. I don't know how many, but many thousands. And they're going to have you're going to keep people from the water, Ray. Like, the sharks are not going to eat because they're going to stay on the sand. The people are.
Ray Dinger saving lives.
There you go. Right. Let's go to the phones.
That'll be my legacy. I saved how many? I saved countless lives on the Jersey Shore on Memorial Day weekend.
Everybody, if you don't have the Odyssey app, get the Odyssey app so that final weekend, if you are down the shore, you can hear Ray crystal clear. Let's talk to Neil in North Jersey. Hello, Neil.
Gentlemen, thanks as always for taking my call. I greatly appreciate it.
Sure,
Ray,
yeah.
Congratulations on an amazing career. You know, there are many times when things happen with the Eagles and I'm, you know, on the ledge, and, you know, your sort of rational take on things has gotten me through many a sleepless night thinking about this team. So
well,
congratulations on everything.
Thank you.
And enjoy your retirement with your family and your grandchildren.
I intend to. Thanks very much.
You're welcome. Eagles, I love the Bradbury signing. Much like with a lineup in baseball, the more you lengthen it and the more depth you have, the better it is. I think putting Bradbury opposite of Slay, you know, and you put Maddox in the slot, I think makes us into a pretty good secondary in regards to our corners. And I like the fact that, you know, this year, as opposed to other years, every position of need that needed to be addressed was addressed in some way. A.J. Brown at receiver, Bradbury at corner, Reddick, you know, as a pass rusher. So I think Howie Rosen, to be fair, you know, did everything he should have done and filling the needs that need to be filled. With that being said, though, I think this year is a very big transition year for this team. We're going to find out, I think, if Jalen Hurts really becomes a pocket thrower, can make it and be accurate.
Yep.
I think we'll see if Jonathan Gannon can actually be the defensive coordinator we think it can be. We've now given him more tools to be and run a Jonathan Gannon defense. So I think this year, in a lot of ways, is an
Yeah, listen, your phone's starting to break up, but yeah, there's going to be nowhere, and I don't mean this in a bad way, there's just going to be nowhere for guys like Sirianni, Gannon, and Hurts to hide in that
Correct.
They have the weapons at their disposal, so go out there and prove that you're worthy of the position. Hey, Neil, give me a movie that you'd wish there's a prequel for.
So we all know the Hunger Games and Katniss Everdeen and all that, but we don't know how Cornelius Snow came to power. How about a prequel to the Hunger Games?
The Hunger Games. Interesting answer right there. It's a whole sort of different world there. Ray, what would be a good answer from your end on this? We're looking for, because Yellowstone announced they're going to have another prequel.
Oh, okay.
That, of course, a TV show. There's already been one in the late 1800s. Now there's going to be one in sort of the early to mid 1900s with Harrison Ford, by the way. Now, that's the TV variety. We're looking for movies. And, Ray, we've had some good answers today.
Mm-hmm.
John, by the way, said The Matrix. James said Pulp Fiction. I said Rocky. I would be fascinated to know how, you know, Rocky, like Rocky the Criminal.
Right.
How many hands did he break their hands to collect money on the docks? Was he running from the cops? What was his relationship like with Mickey when, you know, he was younger and trying to break into boxing, that whole deal?
Mm-hmm.
A lot of different ways you could go with a movie prequel that's never been made. Ray, what would be a big answer from your end? A movie that you think would be fascinating to know the backstory to?
Hoosiers. I'd like to know what the backstory on Norman Dale was.
Yeah, what did he really do that caused all those problems?
Yeah. I mean, they kept alluding to his things in the past and things he was running away from. And, you know, that's how he wound up at this little Yahoo high school out in the woods in the middle of Indiana. But, you know, there were references to him being a big-time college coach at one time. And, okay, but what really happened? You know, what really happened in his past that brought him here? Because that's one of my favorite movies.
Yes.
And Gene Hackman's one of my favorite actors. So I would kind of like to know more about the background of Norman Dale.
Love it. By the way, Ray, if you get a chance at some point, check out the very end of Hoosiers. Because I agree with you. It's an amazing movie. Jimmy Chitwood? What's his
Jimmy
name?
Chitwood.
Chitwood.
Chitwood?
Yes.
He walks Ray on the final possession of the game. 3 seconds to go. I'm telling you, check it out when you can.
Mm-hmm.
Because he takes a dribble or two before he pulls up for that winning shot at the buzzer.
Mm-hmm.
He shuffles his feet and walks. Check it out when you get a chance. I'm not kidding. Let's go to Matt, Northeast Philadelphia. Hello, Matthew.
Hey, how's it going?
Great, Matt.
So, Ray Dinninger, it's an absolute honor to speak to someone with your knowledge and, you know, professionalism. I just want to say that.
Thanks.
Joe? Not so much.
Oh, Matt, why you got to be mean like that? You know,
Matt,
I heard something years ago. It's something about sticks and stones and breaking bones, but words, Matt, they will never hurt me.
Well, I mean, I just had to deflate.
No, I understand. You're just, I got you, my man.
So, in any case, I think the Bradbury signing is a very good signing. I'm just hoping that Jalen Hurts makes the step forward that he needs to make to put his team over the top.
Yes. And, you know, his contract is already helping us assemble this team.
Yeah, you're right, John. That's a good point.
He will be better than last year. The question is just how much better. Will he be that guy? Will he enter that top, 12 territory that you're looking for a quarterback to really lead a team? To get where we want to go, he's going to have to be a top 12 guy. And right now he's probably, I don't know.
Hurts,
16.
I think he's 18.
I would say 15 to 20. Yeah. That's probably about where he is.
Yeah, I'd say 18 to 22, but maybe he's 15.
You're
18
awful,
to 20
man.
Is in
You're
15
terrible.
To 20.
18 to 22, I said.
I know.
22?
I mean, guys, he's not very good in the past.
Dastardly.
I think he's like 16 to 18.
But he also didn't have all the weapons that he does now. I mean,
right.
AJ Brown's huge. That's a huge take, even for Devontae Smith.
Yep.
You're right about that.
Makes
Matt,
a huge difference.
What do you got on the 76ers, man?
Honestly, I think they're a lost cause right now. Until they get rid of Doc Rivers, they don't have the leader on the court or in the locker room. And without that, it's how can you lead by example? I watched the game the other day with Dallas and the Suns. Luka led by example. He just completely took over the game.
From the start.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's another guy that you might have to say you'd rather have instead of Embiid. I mean, it was years ago someone first said it. I don't know who, but it's true. The first ability is availability. And, you know, Joel, I mean, he played, but he was the shadow of himself in this playoff run because of those injuries, and it happens every year. And we know at his best he's amazing. We all know that. But, he is a classic example of not putting it all together. Matt, give me a movie you'd like to have a prequel for.
All right, so someone that already took Wizard of Oz, so I'm going to have to go with the original Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory.
That's an interesting answer, too.
Sure.
That's very interesting. How did he...
Yeah.
First off, where do the Oompa Loompas come from? How do you become, you know, the...
That's your first
Well,
off.
That is. I mean,
you got to know the
Were
most.
They born in the factory? Did he go to Australia and find them? Like, where did he find the Oompa Loompas? Where
How
are they?
How did he get in with the
I mean,
Oompa Loompas?
Where did they come from? They just drop out of outer space? Like, who are they? And then, like...
How did he rise to power to
have
the
chocolate world?
The most popular chocolate in the world.
Totally. Ray, do you remember Northeast Philly? Now, the factory closed a few years ago, but you remember that at factory on the boulevard in Northeast Philly? That when you would go buy it, had the most unbelievable chocolate smell.
Oh, yeah.
It's the Nabisco.
Nabisco.
Yeah. Yep.
It was, I mean, you could be within a mile of that thing and smell chocolate.
It smelled great. It's it hasn't been that for a while now, right? The building's still there, but it's something else.
Yeah, probably something a good 10 or 15 years.
A while.
But, man, that thing had a run of chocolate. I mean, it was incredible.
That was way up the boulevard. That was like past Sears and past the Tacony Bridge and everything. That was really, really far up
it's
the boulevard.
It's amazing how big Northeast Philly is. I was at a funeral yesterday, Northeast Philadelphia, and from the funeral to the burial site and then the reception, we had like a 30 to 35 minute drive. Granted, you're not going particularly fast because
lights
you know,
and all that.
Yeah, the lights and all that. But, I mean, Northeast Philadelphia is massive.
Yeah, it really is.
That's why is that why they call it the Great Northeast, Ray? Because it just keeps going and going?
I believe so. I mean, it's just vast.
Ray, what was it like? You're growing up and the Phillies ballpark is in Northeast Philly. That's a whole different world for those of us that didn't live through that.
Mm-hmm.
Shy Park, Connie Mack. Like, what was it like when you would go to the Phillies games in Northeast Philly?
Oh, man. Well, where Connie Mack was really pure North Philly. That wasn't Northeast
North
Philly.
Oh, North Philly. Okay.
That was North Philly. I mean, Northeast Philly, when I think Northeast, I think like up the Roosevelt Boulevard,
sure,
going up that way towards Tacony,
yep,
Mayfair. I mean, yeah,
so where,
Connie Mack
Stadium
was 21st and Lehigh.
Right
in North Philadelphia.
Gotcha.
I mean, real close to Temple campus. And, the biggest problem with Connie Mack Stadium. The great thing about Connie Mack Stadium was the intimacy of it. It was a real tiny ballpark, real small by the standards of how stadiums were built in,
yep,
those days. I mean, if you had a box seat, box seats were true box seats. I mean, they were boxes on the field next to the dugout. And I remember the guy who was the usher in one section there was a guy who was in the Air Force with my father, and they had remained friends. So when my father and I would go to Connie Mack Stadium, we would go to his section where he was the usher, and he knew which box holders were coming or not coming on a given night. So he would walk us down to one of the available boxes that were right on the field. So,
Ray, I got us, first off, that's super cool, but does that mean, is that a little dishonest by a Didinger? I mean, you're taking a seat that's not yours. I mean, Ray, I don't know you as this kind of guy.
No.
You're hopping a seat, right?
Well, sure, but I mean, it wasn't like we were taking seats of people that were there or asking them to leave.
He
knew ahead of time who was coming and who wasn't. So he said, "Okay, that box isn't in use. You can sit there."
That's great.
But I'll tell you how close to the field you were. And this is true. This is no exaggeration. I remember the first time we sat down there, the Phillies were playing the Milwaukee Braves, and we were so close to the field that I could see the sweat on Hank Aaron's neck.
Wow.
That's how you could literally reach out and touch the guy in the on deck circle.
Wow.
That's how close you were. That was a great introduction to baseball, because you really felt like you were in the game almost.
That's wild. 215-592-9494. Ray, speaking of baseball, we haven't done much on the Phillies the last couple hours. We started the show with them before the Bradberry signing. I talked earlier, Ray, about how aggravating it is and somewhat confounding that a team can be a top five offense, which the Phillies statistically are through 36 games, have really good starting pitching, and they do. I mean, there's no more Vince Velasquez's where you fall off the cliff with the fifth or fourth starter. Like, they're really solid, and yet still on May 18th be below .500.
Yeah, I know.
And I put it on defense. I put it on lack of team speed. I put it on bullpen again as a problem. I think Girardi is still a problem, right? I mean, he pulls Zeflin last night, 85 pitches after six innings.
And he was pitching good.
He was pitching great.
He really was.
I mean, Ray, what do you make of how are you below .500 when you got a good offense and good starting pitching?
Yeah, everything you say is true. One of the things that's in the losses is even for a team that, I mean, they do have a potent lineup. They really do. I mean, you know, especially now you've gone DH. I mean, you got good bats in the lineup all the way through. But they do. They have these nights where they just don't hit.
Yeah.
You know, how many times have they been shut out? How many times have they been held to one run? I mean, that's. You look at their overall average, it's good, but they have these nights where the bats just don't hit. But I feel like over the course of the season, that will resolve itself. I mean, you got too many good hitters to have that be a 162-game problem. I think the bullpen is a big part of it. I do think the defense has been a big part of it. Although they've fielded better now,
yeah.
I mean, they've like once again, they've lost games with their bullpen.
Well, you know what they also have, right? They really don't have any adequate starting center fielder. They don't have an adequate starting shortstop.
And they can't run.
And they don't have a leadoff hitter.
Yeah.
I mean, they literally don't. There's no leadoff hitter on the team. Does not exist.
Yeah, I know, which has resulted in getting to your point about the manager. It's, you know, there's too much shuffling of the lineup. You know, and I know what he's trying to do. He's trying to figure out, okay, give me a combination here that works, because there are too many nights here with this many good hitters that we're not scoring. I kind of know that there's some experimentation going on there. The fact that he doesn't have a natural leadoff hitter it starts there. But that's a big part of it. They also don't run the bases very well. And you know, Real Muto is just not hitting at all.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a big bat that you really were counting on that hasn't shown up yet, really.
For sure. To the phones we go. We got to thank Robert from Germantown, who brought us in some food today. Hello, Robert. Thank you.
Hey, guys. How you doing? Good to
thank
hear Ray
you,
on the
Robert.
Show again.
Hello, Robert. How are you?
Good. Share some of that John's roast pork with Ray.
Robert, you're the man. You're the man. Thank you.
Listen.
You know, I'll tell you something about Robert. For a guy from Winnipeg, He has found his way around the Philadelphia food stops. I mean, he's been to D'Alessandro's Cheesesteaks. He's been to Johnny's Hamburgers out in Delaware County. He's now found his way to John's Roast Pork. I mean, you have really assimilated into the Philadelphia food culture very well, Robert.
Well, thank you. It's like being an anthropologist.
Yeah, it's not a bad comparison, actually.
Yeah. Well, here's my thought, guys. You know, John, you went to Stanford, and I had a consulting job a while back at Shattuck St. Mary's School in Faribault, Minnesota, which actually had, on their high school hockey team at the time, Sidney Crosby.
Wow.
And the headmaster of the school had gone to Stanford as part of a program. It was all about collaboration. Essentially, you know, he'd go and he'd talk to the cook and the Chinese kids, and he'd say, what should we put in the buffet? So if it were me, if I was the owner of any of our sports teams, I would send Ray and all of you, James, on a road trip. Because I was looking last night, I didn't even know they had basketball leagues in Croatia and Serbia and so on and so forth. And I came across one guy who was a 23rd round draft pick in the NBA who left. He's 31 years old. He's like the leading guy in the European League, blah, blah, blah. He's got some name I can't pronounce. I don't want Serbian shooting me, so I'm not going to even try. But, you know, I believe, because I've traveled the world, I believe there's all kinds of talent out there, like Jordan Mulatas or some guy like Kurt Warner, you know, bagging supermarket groceries somewhere. We found guys, a homeless kid living in a car in East New York when I was at the LaSalle Academy. There's a movie about his life, Lenny Cook. He was rated the number one high school player in the country in the same class with LeBron and Carmelo, for real. Okay.
Well, look at Jimmy Butler. Jimmy Butler was homeless when he was 15 years old. It's an amazing story that Jimmy Butler, with the background he had, you know, put together an adult life where he is this accomplished as a basketball player. It's really staggering.
Well, it speaks to his heart. You know,
yes,
when you
it
see
does.
A guy like LeBron or Giannis, these guys are not soft. We had Ron Artest when I was at LaSalle. I was privileged to be on the coaching staff a little bit, and I got to work with Ronnie. And he was from the projects in Queens. I mean, this guy was a man playing with boys.
I loved Artest at St. John's. I loved him, man.
You know?
All right, Robert, give me a movie that you wish there was a prequel of.
Well, in honoring Ray, he and I go way back. I always wanted to know what Rhett Butler's background story was in Gone with the Wind. He seemed to be such a unique character in the movies. I want to know more about this guy. You know, he was sort of a ne'er-do-well, run out of Charleston.
Yep.
What was up with that?
All right, Rhett Butler. Ray, do you know the answer? Rhett Butler's background, the scoundrel that he was viewed as.
Yeah, I don't know. I have no idea. I have no idea what Rhett Butler was before Scarlett.
Well,
I don't know.
We know he was, you know, with some women. We know that. Well,
they made that very clear. Yeah,
they made that very clear indeed.
Hey, by the way, the point that Robert made about discovering talent all around the world, the fact that it's out there is just a matter of discovering it. When I was at NFL Films, we did a documentary about George Allen, the football coach with the Rams, and of course more celebrated with the Redskins. And he was such a total 24/7, 365 days a year football nut. I mean, even by the standards of what football coaches typically are, George was like way beyond them. And we interviewed his daughter, and she said that when they would go on vacation, when the Allen family would go on vacation, and they did enjoy traveling the world. George liked to see the world, but you're going to think I'm kidding. She said that he always packed a stopwatch. And everywhere they went, like they'd be on a beach in Antigua or something, and he would see like some working on the beach, a guy going by in a swimsuit that looked and he would mark it off and ask the guy to run 40 yards.
Wow.
He traveled with a stopwatch just in case he saw a guy who looked like a prospect.
That is wild. That's wild.
Fun.
And Ray, maybe fitting, and I don't mean this in a laughable way, for a guy who literally died because of football, right? I mean, so he wins a college game.
Yeah, Long Beach State.
And he's like in his 70s or something, and the players dump the Gatorade on him.
Yep.
And he catches a cold and dies.
And turned into pneumonia, and he died.
I mean, John, did you know that, John, that George Allen died that way?
Yeah.
It's an amazing and very sad story. It really is.
You know, George went to the lengths of actually bringing Andre the Giant to Redskin Park and working him out with the thoughts of signing him as a defensive tackle.
That happened for real?
He actually did. He brought on Andre was the WWF was swinging through the Washington area, and he invited Andre the Giant to Redskin Park to work him out. and they didn't have a helmet to fit him.
Wow.
Right. That's right. A great story.
I can't imagine Andre out there as a D tackle. I mean, like, talk about not ever getting low. Andre the Giant did not have bend.
Well, speaking of low, Ray, wouldn't this – I mean, listen, we've talked about this before, but let's just lay it on the line. Wouldn't the 1,000-pound sumo wrestler be an effective goalie in hockey? Where are you going to shoot the puck
right.
if the guy is Jabba the Hutt?
Well, I guess that's some truth. I how do you? But how do you get him from the bench? No, how do you get him to the crease?
You just put him on ice and he goes out there.
But you put him on a sled and push him out. Then you got guys carry him out there on the Zamboni, and then you just position him.
Yes,
pretty much.
I don't know, Joe.
I think it would work,
isn't it? I mean, you're kind of going against the spirit of the game,
100%.
Don't you think?
Goal's not that big.
You'd have to ban it like baseball, ban the little guy. But I'm just saying that's, you know, I mean, Eddie Goodell bat it, and the commissioner's like, never again.
Yeah, that's well, of course.
I'm with you. Yep. Yeah. Let's go to Benjamin in Downingtown. Hello, Benjamin.
D-I-D-I-N-G-E-R. Dittinger! Go right.
You spelled it right. It's more than my teachers could.
Hey, you know, I'm not a man for words, but I just want to say thank you, Ray, because over the years, you know, you've been that one voice that I always wanted to listen to when it came to sports.
Well, thanks. I appreciate that. That really is very nice. I appreciate you saying that.
Yeah, well, I appreciate listening to you. As far as the Eagles in today's signing, Joe specifically, back, I don't know, I want to say in February and March, you were dead set on getting Aaron Rodgers any way, shape, or form. You would have gave up everything. If we had done that, we would not have the team that we have now, and we would be next to nothing. Would you still do that Aaron Rodgers trade in hindsight, or would you prefer this team we have now?
That's an interesting question.
That is an interesting question. Yeah.
So a couple of things go through my head. First off, I'd like to know what they really couldn't have. And here's what I mean by that. What they've accomplished seems implausible with what they had salary cap was. So I'm going to just fundamentally disagree with your point that if they got Rodgers, they basically would not have gotten anything else, because I'm sure they would have.
Well, the draft picks.
They would have gotten the draft picks.
Well, but they would have given up those picks for the Rodgers trade.
And you know you don't have the money to pick up the wide receiver.
But it would take more than the Saints trade to get Aaron Rodgers.
Say that again, James?
It would take more than what they traded to the Saints to get Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, you would not have the draft picks probably.
Right, not just those draft picks, but you probably can't trade for A.J. Brown is the point.
Well, yeah, my point is I'd like to know what they could have gotten. I don't think it's Aaron Rodgers and nothing else, so it's a little hard to answer it in a vacuum. I'll just say this. If Rodgers went to play for 5 more years, I'd want Aaron Rodgers, honestly.
Come on, man.
I'm just being honest with you.
You know what his new deal looks like? He's getting $42 million this year. He's getting $59 million, $59.5 million
in
2023.
If you're telling me I got to
$49 million in 2024.
Listen, if you're telling me I got to pay him $60 million in a year, then I'd rather not have Aaron Rodgers.
Well, of course you would have to. He wasn't going to come here.
Well, I didn't know it's going to be $60 million in a season. I mean, that's he's being a pig. I mean, he is. He's being a pig.
Are you surprised?
I'm a little surprised because I thought the guy wanted to win. If a quarterback takes $60 million, you don't expect to win. So I guess my answer, Benjamin, is I'm glad they did it the way they did it.
I am absolutely glad. Because Howie Roseman is definitely having the season of a lifetime as far as his career is concerned.
Well, you know me, Benjamin. I think it all started a year and a half ago. I think Howie has had a great last 18 months. I really do. Benjamin, give me a movie you'd like a prequel for.
Okay. I would specifically like to see Tom Holland play an up-and-coming James Bond, his ascension to becoming 007.
Interesting. Joe's not familiar with Tom Holland.
But I know James Bond. Who's ex-Tom Holland?
He's the new Spider-Man.
You're right.
I thought he said Tom Hardy. Did he say Tom Holland?
Yeah, he said Holland.
Wait, so is he saying Spider-Man or James Bond?
No, he's saying actor
saying
who he was
Holland
adding. He's saying I would have a prequel with this actor as James
Bond.
Yeah,
as like the young.
Why don't you say Sean Connery?
What are you talking about?
We're talking about James Bond, right?
Sean Connery is...
How are they going to make a prequel with Sean Connery?
The young,
dead.
The young
oh,
James
he's
Bond.
Saying a young actor.
He was just giving you... He was going above
Tom
him.
Holland
he was going
is.
Above and beyond.
That's a good
he
idea.
Was giving a prequel plus the person who would star in the prequel.
Yeah.
Okay.
I
so
like
who
that
would
idea.
Star Who would star as 20-year-old Rocky? I mean, Stallone ain't going to be that. Who's 20-year-old Rocky?
Miles Teller.
Oh yeah, that's a good one.
Is he big enough?
He's a little old for it, but I mean, if you make him a little older, you could
do
it.
He seems tall. I mean, he's not beefy, is he?
He bulked up for a box. He did a boxing movie already.
All right.
He did the Vinny Pazienza story.
Wow.
A few years ago. Nobody saw it. I mean, the movie came and went in like 15 minutes, but it was pretty good, and he was a very credible boxer. It was clear he trained for the role. So yeah, I think he could pull it off.
Right.
By the way, Miles Teller is in the new the Top Gun sequel.
Absolutely, yes.
Which has gotten rave reviews. I don't know if you've seen it, but the reviews are over the moon.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
It's wild. Even
the toughest critics, even the critics that were laying in wait for this to just pounce it and tear it apart, even they have to come out and grudgingly say, hey, you know what? This is a hell of a movie.
So, Ray, let me tell you something. You might not know this. Today, whoever gives us the best answer to a movie that would be, you know, a great prequel could exist for, wins tickets to the Phillies-Giants game June 1st. We're all going to head down together as a show.
Mm-hmm.
There's going to be a grand prize right before that June 1st game where one person that's won tickets on our show over 3 weeks is going to meet Miles Teller that night at the game and get a photograph with him.
Oh, cool.
Because that is Top Gun night at the ballpark.
Oh, what do you know? Well, that's good. Yeah, I think he's from Wilmington, right?
Yeah, he's a Phillies
fan. I don't know that.
Yeah, he's from Delaware. I think he's from Wilmington, and he's a big Eagles fan, mm-hmm. and I would suspect probably a big Phillies fan.
Yep.
Now, right, another important part of that night, Joe's going to wear a Top Gun outfit to the game.
that's only if someone actually provides
great.
It. Jamie's with us right
you
now.
You already have this outfit, Joe.
I don't have
jeans, and you take your shirt off. And you apply the oil. You've got
carry
that
carry a volleyball
outfit.
Around. Everyone will know exactly what you're doing.
All right, Jamie, what's going on, pal?
Joe, how we doing?
We're good.
All right, so I'm willing to put the money up to get the Top Gun jacket for you to wear.
Wow.
Wait, this sounds too cool. Like, the Top Gun jacket, you mean like the aviator jacket?
No, this is good stuff.
No, this is not what we're looking for, Jamie.
Why not?
Because that's...
Oh,
I'm not would, doing that.
You
not...
would look cool. Like, you.
Sure.
We don't want that.
Well, that's what I want.
Okay. Well, that's not what we're going
You're
for.
Not
going
to get me out there. Ray, they want me to go topless.
I'll take
women terms.
I'll take fighter pilot outfit. Like, not the jacket
yes.
and the aviators. You got to go fighter pilot.
I mean, well.
That's
way too cool.
Suit,
like,
yeah, like the jumpsuit.
Aviators and a jacket.
Like the house painter suit.
You don't want him looking like Joe Cool.
All right, hold on. What if I'm Skerritt? Because, you know, Skerritt's got that look where he's
Come
got
on,
the hat low.
Oh, I have a Skerritt thought, by the way, from just rewatching Top Gun.
What is it?
It's the weirdest conversation in the movie. Goose dies, like, that day. And he comes in and he's like, got to get over it, man. You got to get over it right now.
Yeah.
It's like crazy. It was like, give the guy a couple days to react to Goose dying.
I don't know, man.
I thought that was insane.
Well,
although, James, wasn't it you that said when he throws out his dog tags?
That is super weird, too. Like, don't you think his kid might want the dog tags, or Meg Ryan might want the dog tags? He just throws them in the water after he dies.
Yeah,
that's
like
weird, too.
Maybe give those to the family, you know?
They should address that in Top Gun, too. Be like, hey, man, why'd you throw the dog tags in the water?
Tom Cruise would just have to give, like, that serious Tom Cruise response. Did what I did.
All right, listen, Jamie, entertaining call. If you have the parts for this outfit, then I'll use them.
No.
What do you mean, no?
We won't accept a cool flight jacket.
No, we do. Jamie, how are you going to get this to us?
Jamie, it's off.
Here, I'll tell you what. I'm going to put you on hold. Seltzer can talk to you. Give me an answer here for what you'd want to have a prequel for.
All right. Well, So, John, you're already a little mad.
Forget Richie's.
You're gonna like this.
Richie's vote doesn't count here. I'm gonna put you on hold. Give me a damn answer
Gladiator.
For a movie.
Gladiator's
already been said. Give me a different one.
Oh, that's already been said.
Yeah.
All right, then I'm gonna go. Has Step Brothers been said?
No, it has not. All right.
What's the prequel for that, though? Like them on their own before the parents get together?
Younger stepbrothers, I guess.
Stepbrothers. Yeah. James, please talk to Jamie, and we'll figure out how to get that outfit transferred over.
No need for that.
Talk to Mike right now. Mike, you're on WIP.
Fellas, how's it going?
Great.
How are you?
Doing well. Love the Bradbury signing, especially on that one-year prove-it deal. But
you know, it's $7.5 million and then $2.5 million in incentives. So it's even better than we thought?
Yeah, you're getting a $21 million player for $7 million.
That's amazing.
That's what he was making with the Giants.
Wow.
I absolutely love it. It's going to bolster our CB2 big time. But I really just wanted to call in today to speak to Mr. Dittinger one last time, you know, get to congratulate him. And if you guys have a minute, just tell a really really cool story about when me and my buddy got to meet him.
Great.
Yeah, so me and my buddy Mark, we went to go see Mr. Dittinger at this speaking engagement a couple of years ago, and we were coming from Brooklyn. That's where we live. So we left really early, got there really early, and we were the first ones there by probably like 15 minutes. So we got to meet Mr. Dittinger, get our Eagles encyclopedia signed, and then because we were the only ones there, we got to talk to him for maybe like 10 minutes. Now, I'm a firefighter in Brooklyn, and my buddy's a Port Authority cop. So when we told him where we were from and what we did, he asked if we had ever seen the this NFL Films production about the FDNY football team after 9/11. Mm. And neither of us had ever seen it. So Mr. Dittinger says, hey, do me a favor, you know, give me your address. I'll send you a copy because it's like one of the best things I've ever done on NFL Films and you guys would love it. So, you know, me and my buddy were starstruck and, you know, I give him my address, but I wasn't exactly holding my breath.
Sure.
About 2 weeks later, I get a letter in the mail. It's from Mr. Dittinger, a handwritten letter.
Wow.
Telling me, you know, he's reached out to NFL Films to get a copy, and then he's going to forward it to me. The next week, as promised, it's delivered. I mean, I was absolutely floored that not only did he end up sending me a copy, but he had even reached out beforehand as if to say, like, hey, Mike, I haven't forgotten about you. You know, it's on the way.
Wow.
So I still have both of the letters that he sent me saved inside my Eagles encyclopedia, and I watch that NFL Films production every year right before 9/11. So I just wanted to share that story
tremendous.
With the public because it's all you need to know about Mr. Dittinger. I just wanted to thank him one more time because it meant more to me than he could ever imagine. But I also want to thank him for just being him and all he's meant to Birds fans like me since I was a young kid, you know.
Well, thanks. I really appreciate that. And I remember that very well. When you started telling the story, I said, oh, this is the guy from the firehouse. I remember meeting you and your buddy from the Port Authority and – yeah, boy, wasn't that a great film? I really think it's one of the best things NFL Films has ever done. They went back and they did a story. FDNY had a really good football team that was made up of New York City firemen, and they were good. And they had a coach named Pudgy Walsh, who was the coach of the team. And of course, the team was devastated in 9/11. Like 2/3 of the guys died in the towers. And they rebuilt the team and put a team back on the field the next year with all different guys. And they obviously weren't as good, but they played the same schedule. But they felt like they owed it to their brothers to keep the thing going. And we did NFL Films. We covered that team that whole season and filmed their games and filmed the stories and filmed the families. And I really thought, and I didn't do any, I didn't do it. Another producer named Peter Frank, who's still at NFL Films, did it. But I honestly think it's one of the best things NFL Films has ever done.
Wow.
So that's why if you guys hadn't seen it, I definitely wanted you to see it. So I was glad to send it along.
Well, Mike, thank you for that call and that story about Ray. That's tremendous.
No, thank you guys for letting me share it. Mr. Dittinger, wish you nothing but the best. You know, huge fan, and your name's always going to be mentioned with reverence around my household.
I appreciate that very, very much.
Very cool.
That was a great story. That's Ray, that's really awesome that you did that, man.
Ray?
Yeah, well, they were really – first of all, I'm going into this appearance, and the first two guys I meet are these two guys with these really thick New York accents who are telling me that they're Eagles fans. I said, wait, what's wrong with this picture? How could this possibly be? But they convinced me they were legit. They convinced me they were legit. And they brought me, which I still have, they brought me a couple patches from their firehouse.
Oh, those are cool.
And that's what they gave me. So I said, okay, this is really cool. I'm going to get you something. So I got them the copy of the film, and it is really, really excellent.
Wow. Ray, 11 days to go. So next Wednesday, our last time with you on the show. I'm both looking forward to it and not looking forward to it. But, Ray, enjoy these days. Saturday and Sunday, everybody be listening to Ray, obviously. And we're thankful for you, Ray.
Well, thank you. And we have the final. We're going to be bringing, on Saturday, we're bringing Tell Us Your Story to a close. It's going to be another one of those best of editions.
Yeah.
It's going to be 1 hour with highlights from some of the best interviews we did over the last couple of years. So we had a great run with it. Glenn added it up. We had 108 interviews in Tell Us Your Story. We've sort of picked some of the best stuff to air on Saturday, and that will bring Tell Us Your Story to a close. So that'll be a little emotional in its own way.
Jaws was great last week.
Oh, wasn't he great?
Incredible.
Jaws. Did you hear him get all choked up talking about Buffalo?
I heard it.
We were like 90 seconds into the interview and he's sobbing. I thought, oh my God, how's that? We got 59 minutes to go and the guy's already in tears.
Yep.
But talking about his family and talking about Buffalo, it was very emotional for him. And I think what really came across was just what a good guy he is.
Totally.
I mean, just a totally down-to-earth good dude. And talk about the people that I met here in 50 years and the ones that really made a lasting impression on me. He's on that list for sure.
Yeah, plus Jaws' mom and sister both died in recent years.
Right.
I think that was in his mind.
No question. That was a big part. I'm sure he was thinking about his mom and Jerry's sister. Yeah. I'm sure he was thinking about that.
Ray, God bless you. We'll talk to you next week.
Thank you, Ray. Okay, look forward to it, guys.
Ray. Up ahead, time's yours. Plus more, Joe DeCameron, John Ritchie on WIP.
If you're thinking about snacking on anything other than a tasty cake, you are making a huge miscake. A melted milkshake, miscake, crumbly, sticky s'mores, bigger Miss Cake, or the worst Miss Cake of all, you resort to baking. If it's not tasty cake, it's a Miss Cake, because nothing satisfies like a perfectly sweet butterscotch crimpet or a rich and creamy chocolate peanut butter candy cake. Tasty cake, accept no substitutes.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.